Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. An interesting way for the longest of the Bible's books to begin. And yet what the psalmist does here is, interestingly enough, the same as Solomon does as he begins the book of Proverbs. Different language, but the same idea. And both of these sections of Scripture show us a sharp distinction, a line of demarcation, if you will, between the influence we get from the world, which is false information that leads us in the wrong direction, drags us down into more and more sin with its consequences. And that is contrasted with the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, what we learn from Him that brings us upward and takes us far away from sin and makes us better people here with more hope for the hereafter. The psalmist here speaks of a man who's blessed, who does not listen to the wrong information, but listens to, meditates within the Bible, as we'd have it now. The law of the Lord, which they had then under the time of Moses in the Old Testament period. And just so in Proverbs, you might remember, you're shortly into the book, in the very first chapter, when you find the verse that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," which sets the tone for the rest of Proverbs, really. The idea that you listen to God, you fear, respect Him, you give heed to what He has to say, you're going to avoid all kinds of pitfalls and pratfalls and difficulties in life. You don't do that. Instead, you listen to the wrong people, the wrong crowd, the wrong information, you'll find your life spiraling out of control. And so much of Proverbs gives that very picture of lives making the wrong choice, spiraling out of control, when if they'd just listened to God, they could have avoided the problems, avoided the difficulties, avoided the anxieties. They could have had a better life. And of course, the good news is, after both Psalms and Proverbs are behind us in the rearview mirror, we get to the New Testament. The good news is, regardless, even with bad choices in our past, we can move forward in the present and future with the help of God through Christ to be better people. We need not stay where we are, regardless where that is. But still, it comes back to who and what we listen to. We'd all like to think that we're self-made people, that we make our own choices. Nobody can tell me what to do. I make my own way, and I do things the way I want to do them. I'm my own person, and that's simply not true. Simply not true. We're all the result of the influences that have come into our lives, and the choices we've made as to which influences we've allowed to bring us in one direction, or which we've chosen to allow to bring us into a different direction. No man is an island. Now, the poet said that, not me, but he was right. We don't live lives in isolation from everything, anyone else. We are always susceptible to influences without doing their best to drag us in one direction or the other, which is how this first psalm begins. It sets the narrative for so much of the entire Bible. A man here is described as blessed. well-founded, well-grounded, very secure in what he has, where he is, where he's going. He is blessed in every respect, as opposed to those described here which are not blessed at all, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The tree has its roots. The tree has its strength. The tree has substance. The chaff, well, there's nothing to hold it down, to hold it to the ground, to keep it in one place. It just goes wherever the wind blows it. Well, that's the difference that the writer is speaking of. The blessed man who has some substance in his life and the man with no mooring. That is just the result of listening to the last thing he heard, the last internet post he looked at, the last news item he paid attention to, the last friend that whispered in his ear. He's just listening to whatever comes his way. And what we sometimes fail to realize is that we have all the power to choose what influences us. We do. Madison Avenue and those behind the commercials you watch would like you to think that you are just clay in their hands and they can say the right things in just the right way and they can make you do their bidding. Well, that's only if you allow them to have that kind of influence. You still, I still, we all still have the ultimate decision within us to decide, I'm going to listen to this, pay attention to this, give heed to this or not. And if you don't believe that, I'll just take you to the moment right now. You don't have to pay a bit of attention to me this evening. You can sit there, you can smile at me, you can grin all you want to, or you can look away, you can fall asleep, you can act like you're listening and not. You can act like you're not and listen. It's up to you. When it comes to getting anything at all out of this lesson or through this lesson from the first psalm, that choice is completely up to you. I can't force feed you. I can't make you listen, make you absorb, make you interested. It's completely up to you. And what's true of this lesson this evening is true of our lives altogether. We have the choice. The challenge is, though, that if we're not careful, we're like water that just goes its way by way of the influence that comes upon it, making no decision of its own. You might remember at the last of Genesis where Jacob is blessing his sons. He's about to die. And he brings them in, beginning with the eldest, Reuben, and gives them all a word of advice, encouragement, counsel, and blessing. And he begins with Reuben, and you'd think he'd say something wonderfully sterling and encouraging, but he says, Reuben, unstable as water, you will not excel. I would have hated to have been Reuben. I walk away from that. And the reason it's so demoralizing is because water, it is what it is based upon what's happening around it. It falls from the sky as rain today. If it were about 10 degrees colder, it'd be falling in a different form. We drove here on the highways in the rain. If it were a little colder, we'd be driving in the ice. Altogether a different situation. Same substance, rain, but it's rain or it's ice or it's snow. In the summer, it may go up as vapor in humidity. It's the same, H2O, but it's just whatever is around it influencing it as to what it is. Reuben, like water, you won't excel because you're unstable. Well, just so. It's easy for us to be like that, to just not put up a fight and give in to the last thing we heard. And here the psalmist says, this blessed man he's describing, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way or path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And there is an interesting idea here in terms of the progression we have not time to go into. But regardless of the progression of it, the fact of it still remains the same. He doesn't listen to the wrong people. Those opposed to, against God, he doesn't give them any time, any attention. He doesn't lend his ear to them. He doesn't waste his time being influenced by those he knows is not on the same page with him with respect to who God is and what God expects. Which, as you realize, cuts out a lot of modern social media and television and movies and books and magazines, because it's hard to find these days those kinds of sources that really are on our page with respect to God's existence and who God is and what God expects. And we do have the choice in what we choose to listen to and be influenced by. When you're constantly bombarded by voices that say, basically, ostensibly, there is no God, and you keep hearing it over and over and over again, don't be surprised if after a number of years of that, you begin to buy into it. There are things right now going on in our culture which completely confound our minds of just a few years ago. The culture's changed, and not for the better. Well, not only should we not buy into it and agree with those wrong things, we shouldn't give attention and time to them and allow them to change the way we think. The blessed man doesn't waste his time with that. Doesn't suffer fools wisely or at all. Instead, notice the contrast. He has his delight not with the ungodly, not with sinners, not with the scornful. He has his delight in, now what we'd call it today, the Bible. For those under the Mosaical system of law, the Israelites, the Jewish people, of the Old Testament time, it was that law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, also books of poetry like Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Later on, you'll have in the Old Testament the prophets, major and minor, beginning with Isaiah and going all the way through Malachi. This was all considered over time as the law which had a binding force upon them, especially the first five books. But from our perspective now, there's more to it than just that. And I hope in a week or two, perhaps next Sunday evening, if I don't forget, it'd be good for us to have a lesson together on just what purpose the Old Testament serves. Because in one sense, we say, well, we are no longer under Old Testament law. On the other hand, we're always quoting from the Old Testament. It's almost as if we don't agree with ourselves on that. It's a interesting and not that difficult thing to navigate. And I think next Sunday evening we'll do that, if you'll come back. Talk about what use is the Old Testament and New Testament Christians. But that aside for the moment, whether it's the law for those people then or the entire Bible and especially the New Testament for those of us living now, the blessed man is the man or woman, young person, who has great delight in what God has to say as opposed to what the world is constantly shouting. And an interesting word is found here. In this law, he meditates day and night. And think about that word, meditates. Now, I'm not talking Eastern New Age type meditation. I'm talking about meditation as the Hebrew speaks of it, which comes from a word meaning to ruminate. Like a cow will eat its food and then with its multiple stomach situation, it will ruminate and bring that back up and chew it again. and it's fully digested before it's expelled. Just so we take in God's word, and we don't just take it in casually. We meditate upon it. We consider it. We ponder it. We think of its applications. It becomes a part not just of our reading or not just of our study, but of our thinking during the day. It shapes our philosophy of life. It changes everything about who we are over time. The more we spend time with it, the more we meditate, ruminate upon it. And you notice the difference here. This ungodly influence of the sinners, the scornful, the ungodly, these nattering words and phrases and movies and shows and things that come our way that we have to swat away and choose not to pay attention to. Instead, we choose to meditate, to think about, to ponder over what God has said instead. And I'll say it one more time. It's our choice. It's your choice. It's my choice. And the difference in the choice we make is amazingly, spectacularly available here before us in the text, as seen in this tree that is of root and substance, and it's vital, it's productive, it bears fruit, it prospers in every respect, and the chaff which has no root system at all, that just has the wind blow it wherever the wind wants to blow it. All the difference in the world. But that difference is not accident. That difference is not just a matter of coincidence or happenstance. That difference is a difference we choose by choosing who and what we listen to. Who do you believe? What do you buy into? What do you spend time looking at, thinking about, talking about? What changes and shapes the way you think? Now, I'd like to remind you of a passage you know very well, probably. It's in Romans 12, that wonderful scripture where Paul talks about our need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That's our reasonable service. He goes on to say, don't be conformed to this world. Well, that'd be verse 1 here. The person who's influenced by the ungodly, the sinners, the scornful, listen to what they have to say. No, don't be transformed. Don't be conformed, rather, to this world. But instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen again what Paul says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that renewal take place? It's not some dream we have. It's not some feeling we harbor. Our minds are renewed the more we pay attention to and give time to what God has to say on a matter. And He does have something to say on almost any matter you can consider. If not specifically, at least in principle. Drink deeply of God's word, of the stories and messages and principles and precepts of the Bible. Make them a part of who you are, how you think, how you talk. And replacing the world's message with that message, you'll find over time, not only do you have a hope past this life, which matters most, you have the best possible life while you're here. The best possible life right now. Now, this word blessed is not the same as the word happy. And I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of the difference, distinction, the nuance between those words. And so for just a moment, I'm going to go against my own way of thinking and put them together in one basket. I wish I wouldn't, and I'm against myself for doing so, but let's just say blessedness is happiness. It's not, but it's close. Close enough, I'll use it that way for the moment. Who's happier? who's happier? The person who listens to what the world's saying and lives the world's way? Or the person who listens to what God has to say and lives the way God wants one to live? Who's happier? Who has a more peaceful life? Who has a less anxiety-ridden life? Who has better relationships, better home life, better marriages, better friendships? Who has a better life? Who's happier? Well, the answer is not just here. It's here in Psalm 1. It's clear. But it's also available to all of us to see in real time. We've got a laboratory right here in this world we can look at anytime we choose to. Who's happier? And I promise you, yes, there are discouraged, disgruntled Christians. I know that. We're not all on the same page because all of us aren't listening to what God has to say. But those of God's people who listen to what God has to say and buy into the Bible, who live the principles of Scripture and do their best to be the people God wants them to be, they are the happiest people on earth. And you can't reach that point of blessedness in the absence of doing it that way. You live like the world, you'll have what the world has to offer, which is very, very little. Not much here and nothing in the hereafter. But you live in God's way, by His standards. You meditate upon His word. Make that your life and your life's mission and goal. You'll find the best life here and the best of all of lives in the hereafter. My friends, if you're here tonight and you are subject to the Lord's invitation, if you've been listening to the wrong sources, if you've been going in the wrong direction, if you need to make things right tonight by obeying the gospel, or by coming back in repentance. If you need to come this evening, don't put it off, but come now as together we stand and sing.